Okay, now let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word. And today is in, again, as I said, the book of 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. If you keep up with this, as I was studying here, I wanted to change the title of the message today. I had first given it to Miss Joyce as Walking in the Light, and that's still a theme here. But I wanted to change the title to that question that I gave you for your thought for today. And that is, are you a professor or a possessor? Are you a professor or a possessor? And so the thought, as I said, was, are you a professor or a possessor of Christ? And John here, as I said, is combating false teaching as he's writing to his churches. And he's wanting his churches to know what is truth and what is deception. And so as he is writing to these churches, He sort of goes into almost a James-type mode where he gives them a, this is what the truth is, but yet some act like this. So if you're acting like this, then you're not walking in the truth. And that's kind of how this particular section goes today. So he wants the churches to know what it means to be authentic in our worship, and most importantly, in our lives. And this next section then begins to go into what is authentic Christian living. And so for order for John's churches to know what it means to possess Christ, he has to lead them into that contrast between what is light and dark. And he begins this particular section, that verse 5, with God is light. And so I want to start by giving us a brief little theology of light and darkness so that you'll have in your minds what John is talking about here. Of course, we know that theme of light goes all the way through Scripture. And what it's talking about, God's light, is the truth of God that he wants us to know and to share and to love, to understand. So that truth of God then, I mean the light of God, when it says God is light, means that he is ultimate, absolute truth. Now the darkness there is that deception of sin. And living in the light then depends upon the enabling of God. Living in the darkness is all about us doing everything that we can to live in under our own power. And if you think about this for a moment, if you're walking in a completely dark cave and you're trying to grope your way around there, you're feeling the sides of the cave, you know, you're testing with your foot about if there's a hole or something that I'm going to stumble over, it's all about you. It's all about your ability to navigate in that dark cave by testing the waters, testing the surface that you're standing on, feeling on the edge of the cave. You are unaware of the dangers that are there. You're unaware of any kind of critters that may be lurking on the side of that cave as you're feeling your way across there. And so that then, that kind of lifestyle brings the focus upon man's power and ability to navigate life. But when you walk in the light, it's like someone handing you a lantern in that dark cave. That lantern then enables you to navigate with more confidence. That lantern then points out to you, because it sheds light that penetrates into that darkness. It points out to you any critters that may be hiding in the wall. It points out to you any obstacles, any dangers along the way that you might encounter. So walking in the light is a Spirit-led life. It's a Christ-enabled walk. Walking in darkness is all about man and man's ability to live on his own, to navigate on his own, to think on his own, to decide on his own. So John is saying, if you want to be children of light, then you need to walk as God would have us to walk. Now, that light versus darkness, as I said, goes all through creation. We find that, as in that illustration of the cave, that very well-known verse from Psalm 119, you probably know it, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You probably learned that in Sunday school. But there was a light versus darkness even in creation, back in Genesis 1. And what does it say? It says that God spoke and there was light. God spoke light into existence. So now I want you to have that image in your mind, because it's very important that you have this settled in your mind as we go through the remainder of this particular passage. But God's word brought light into the world. And what did that light do? That light then separated the darkness. God's word brought light into the world. And that light then separated the darkness. It made a distinction between light and darkness. Now I want you to think about what the scripture says happens to a soul when God's word speaks into it and gives that soul God's light, God's truth. What does that truth then begin to do? That truth begins to speak into the soul of that individual. By speaking into the soul of that individual, then that truth begins to separate, make a distinction between God's truth and the deceptions, the deceiving of Satan. And so that God speaking into the heart of mankind begins to speak that truth in there. 2 Corinthians 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come." God's creation of souls ceases when in Revelation we see a city that comes down in the vision of John. And that city, it is said of that city that night will be no more. There will be no need for light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. God's battle right now with evil, and God's battle to reclaim the people for himself, is being waged each day, one soul at a time, where God's truth, that word, speaks his light into the darkness of the human heart. That light then penetrates that heart, exposing to that heart the dangers, the deception that it had been living under up until that time when God's truth penetrated it. And then when God's truth penetrates it, then it's like light coming into the darkness of a cave. And that truth begins to highlight the dangers of that lifestyle, the dissatisfaction that God has with that lifestyle, the call of God to leave that lifestyle and come and be closer to Him and walk closer to Him. And so that battle then is waged one soul at a time, and that battle will go on, a battle that started in Genesis and is waged all the way to Revelation. But one day that battle will cease when only God's truth will reign in the hearts of man. That's what Revelation tells us. That's why I said that city needs no light, no artificial means, because God's truth will illuminate it. The light of God will illuminate that city. It will illuminate the hearts. And so to aid in that battle, to reclaim God's people, John wants his churches to know our part in making God's truth that light of the world. And so in verses 6 through 10, he starts making a distinction about what we say versus what we do. And so then that first section then, or this next section then, becomes truth and sin cannot walk together. truth and sin cannot walk together. If we say we have fellowship, what is fellowship? A fellowship is a sharing of a common experience, common traits, common characteristics. Fellowship is a type of coming together, a meeting of the minds, a like-mindedness, if you will. A like-mindedness. We share that like-mindedness with Christ, and that like-mindedness then comes through the body of His people, and it pulls us together and draws us together in that unity of purpose, that unity of vision that the body of Christ shares. So fellowship then, as it comes through Christ and comes through the Spirit's interaction within the hearts and souls of mind, then draws us together as a community. And walk that is talking about here is a habitual lifestyle. So whenever the Scripture is talking about when you walk in darkness or you walk in light, it's a habitual lifestyle. And that word habitual is key here, because all of us depart from the truth from time to time. He's not talking about those little field trips that we take. He's talking about an extended path, a hiking trip down the wrong trail. That's walking in darkness or walking in light. Not these little side ventures that we all have, that we're all susceptible to from time to time, but a sustained, consistent walk, either under the truth of God or under the deception of darkness. And so have that in mind too as we continue on here. Fellowship is a sharing of common traits. Walking here is a habitual lifestyle. So what we have in common with Christ then brings us together as the community of church. We share in His love. We share in the faith that His influence has given to us as His people. We share in His power. We share in the all of the throne of God that is given to us through the Holy Spirit, that guides our life, sheds light upon our life, and gives us the power, the ability, the recognition that we need to battle the sin that's in our lives. So we join together with the King in our fight against sin. We join together with the kingdom of God. Each of us individuals fighting our own battles for our own holiness, joining in that collective of the kingdom of God. Individuals fighting against sin in our own lives, joining in that collecting, that corporate entity, that corporate body of the church. All of us together fighting against sin as we join in together with the kingdom purposes of God in fighting that sin. So we share those common traits. And John is saying here that those who share those common traits, if you walk in the light, if you walk in the light as God is light, then we have fellowship with one another. But if you walk in the darkness, then you cannot have fellowship with those who are in light. The same way that darkness can have no fellowship with light, sinless light. Light makes its own distinctive patterns. Light influences darkness. And so as we shine this into the darkness that we see around here, we'll see that light makes an impact. It illuminates those dark crevices. It shows us the things that we need to change in our lives. Because as John, the Gospel of John says, that Christ came, He was the light, He came into the world as the light, and the darkness could not overcome it. The same way when you shine a light into the darkest, deepest, darkest night that you can find, darkness will not overcome the light. That is how powerful light is. That is how powerful the truth of God is. That all the deceptions of Satan cannot overcome it. And John is reminding his church here that if you are going to walk in the light, then you cannot have fellowship with darkness. You must be a light giver, a light bearer. So walking in the light then means that you walk apart from that darkness. Darkness cannot stay in that presence. Now, the more that we are in the presence of God, as he says here in this next section, 8 through 10, the more that we are in the presence of God, the more that presence of God works into our lives. And just like I shared with the children, the sin that's in our lives keeps being removed. Because the closer we come to God, the more God works on our hearts and our lives, the more we turn over to him, the less sin that is there, the less the things that hinder that truth are in our lives. Now, John here is saying, you might say that you walk in the light, but does your lifestyle reflect one who walks in the light? What does he say here? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Those who walk in darkness deny that they are sinners. They deny the truth of Christ. And they deny that they have need for that truth. Now we all know what sinners are. So what is the truth of Christ? The truth of Christ is, when Christ came, it was a proclamation by God that mankind had fallen in sin and that only an act of God could redeem him, could save him, could change his ways. And so that truth of Christ is that came, come, and there's a sin issue. Remember I say Christ came into the world as a signpost. What was the signpost? It's like the speed limit signs on our highways. Why do they have speed limit signs? Because people like to drive fast. And they put a truth there that this is what we have determined is a safe driving speed on this section of highway. Now, do we look at that sign? We might see that sign. We might even read it. But does that then affect our attitude and our actions so that we slow down? Or do we say in our own hearts, well, I can handle it, because I know they probably won't pull me unless I exceed 8 miles an hour over the speed limit. And then we've got the more conservative of us who kind of say, well, I'll do 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Now, I won't push to 8 today because, you know, it might be the end of the month and, you know, all of those things that go around. They might be trying to make their quotas. And then you've got even the more conservative who just want to sin a little bit. And so we go out and we drive 72 or 73. But there's a sign there because the government has determined that this is a safe speed. Jesus came as a sign from God that mankind has an issue. And if you are going to come back into fellowship with me, then this sin issue needs to be put to rest. And so Jesus came and Jesus stands there on the pathway to life, and we can see him, we can hear him, we can experience him in certain ways. But what John is asking is, do you listen to him? Do you possess him? I'm a good driver. I know what I'm doing. I know that my car can do X, Y, Z. I know that I can stop. I'm quick enough to avoid. I can do all of these kinds of things in my mind, and that excuses to me my desire to exceed what people are saying you should not exceed. We build that same kind of false security around us in our relationship with Christ. Because that goes back all the way to the Garden of Eden, where mankind first said, I know what's best for me. And so God's law, God's truth was ignored there. Disobedience came, and that got us into the mess that we're all in to this day. And now God is saying there's a way out of that mess. And John is reminding the churches here that we first must acknowledge who we are. We first must acknowledge the truth of Christ, that there is a sin issue, that we need his forgiveness, and we must accept that forgiveness. We must pursue it. Now, those who walk in darkness, those who live under the deception, of course, the opposite. They deny that there's a sin issue. They deny the truth of Christ. And they deny their need for His forgiveness. And so they walk along in this self-proclaimed righteousness as they're groping in this cave, saying, I can do it. Remember all of those little hands and feet that we've helped guide along their paths. They reach a point in their life where they say, me do it. In other words, back off, Mom, back off, Dad, let me do this. And some of that is good. We want them to be mature. We want them to tie their own shoes. We want them to do those kinds of things. But the problem comes in an adult life or an earlier life when we're talking spiritual things, when we're telling God, no, let me do it, and we're groping along on the walls of this cave saying, I know what's best for me all the time. I won't do it. I know that's what you look at. All the time getting closer and closer to the edge here, saying that I know what's best for me. And that edge is one day when time will come and we'll all stand before God and we'll all be held accountable for the things that we do and have done. And so for us to be able to recognize that point of danger and we are and our heading to that, we must have that light of truth. And so John is wanting his churches to know that all who deny that they are being deceived are just like those people walking in that dark cave. They're walking in the darkness of deception, and they're not taking advantage of the truth, of the light of God's truth that is free for us to come when we come in faith. Why is it free? Because Christ has paid the price for it. And so John then gives us all a hope in that 1 John 1:9, a verse that I like to use a lot. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word confess there means like word, like hyphen word, like hyphen speech. In other words, we talk like Christ. We agree. We have a meeting of the minds with God that, yes, we are in a lifestyle that is in opposition to Your truth. That, yes, we need the power of Your Spirit of light, Your Spirit of truth to come into our lives, illuminate my path, show me my heart in a way that I can come to You, and in my agreement that my life is in contradiction to what Your truth is all about, then I can confess to You my sins, I can receive the healing forgiveness and the mercy of God, and I can start walking with Your illuminating Spirit inside of me. To show me those pathways, to show me the dangers that lie ahead, to help me see the sin that is there, not only that surrounds me, but who I am. But who I am. That's what he talks about here. And he says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But the blood of Christ, in verse 7, when we have fellowship with one another, then the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. That fellowship with God, that fellowship with Christ. When we join ourselves together with Him, when we become like-minded with Him, when we allow the penetrating light of that gospel truth to enter into our hearts, to enter into our lives, that penetrating light of that gospel truth of Christ then begins to show us more and more about ourselves. Show us more and more about who we are as people. Show us more and more about how we love others. Show us more and more about how we handle our failures, how we handle our successes. Are we shining the light upon ourselves in both? Or are we shining the light upon how we can glorify God in both? Because we can glorify God in our lowest point as well as in our highest point. We glorify God in our lowest point by continuing to hold our faith in Him, by continuing to believe that He wants the best for us, by continuing to be the child of God that He has created us to be. And yes, it's hard. And like I say, yes, sometimes all you can do is hold on to the life preserver until you get to the bank. But by holding on to that life preserver, and that life preserver is Christ, you are showing yourself to be the child of God that He wants us to show ourselves to be. Because we're holding on to the truth. What is the truth? That life preserver is going to be my help, my guide, my enablement to get to the shore. Because what I was depending on is gone. And so I'm holding on to that truth. And when we use Christ that way, even in our deepest, darkest times, it's a testimony of faith to the world. That you love Christ, that you know that He has your best interests at heart, and that He loves you. Even though we can't understand why we're having to do this. But we're showing the world our love for Him by how we hold on to Him. That's how we glorify God in the darkness of the valleys. We glorify God on the mountaintops by praising Him. But just like a lot of these, I'm not meddling, but a lot of these Facebook posts, you know, God is good, God is good, God is good. Well, how about when He's not? Is He ever not? So even when our life stinks, God is still good. We praise Him on social media when we achieve, when we accomplish, when good things come into our lives, as we should. God is good, God is great, God is God, oh God is wonderful. But do we still hold that idea about Him in the darkness that comes? So that's the glorifying of God, both on the mountaintop and in the valley. And John is saying, if you walk in the light, then you will have that illuminating spirit then to show us how we are to praise God, both on the mountaintop and in the valley. And there's that warning there in verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, if we say we have no need of Christ, if we say we have no need of His forgiveness, we make Him a liar. How do we make Him a liar? Because, as we said, the coming of Christ is that signpost by the road. There's a sin issue. And so if we say we have no sin, we're saying that sign is a lie. Or that sign is a suggestion, you know, getting back to that speeding illustration that we used. But when it says we call Him a liar, if we say we have no sin, is a signpost there, a red sign that's saying you are in danger and you need to do something about it. And if we deny we are in danger, if we deny that we have need, then we are making Christ a liar, and His word is not in us. His truth is not in us. His light is not in us, penetrating the darkness of deception. Folks, we want the light in us. Receive the truth of Christ. Because receiving the light of truth drives out that deception of sin, that darkness of sin that's at work within all of us. And if we are not driving out sin in our lives, then I ask you again that question, are we truly a possessor of Christ, or are we only a professor of Christ? Let me pray for you. Father, for all that You have done for us, may we truly be possessors of Christ, possessors of that light, of knowing that You are our guiding influence, knowing how much You love us, even, Father, when it's hard to feel Your love sometimes. May that light penetrate the darkness of our own souls, and may it drive out the sin that is there. so that as we stay in fellowship with you, you can continue to cleanse us from our sin. Father, may that be our guiding light, your truth, and may we hold on to it like a precious light preserver in a stormy sea. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.